Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Go away this time.
I thought that was.
Oops. You guys can hear the microwave?
Yes.
Crap.
We know all.
Who's microwaving?
We are better.
I would like some cocoa, if you're up. That would be good.
Hot cider.
Ah.
Hello?
It would take a long way to drink that, because...
Let me start.
Oh, fine.
Oh, go ahead if you must.
Hello and welcome to episode 138. Of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. This is the Webcomic Beacon, where you can hear about and listen to webcomics weekly. I'm Fess of... You can find me on Tumblr at toomanythingstolist.com. And with us, we have Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
As well as Mark Savory from AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Hello.
Well, already. Mark, we missed you last week, Mark.
I should think so.
We did.
How'd the show go without me? Probably better.
Well, it probably could have used you for the zinger at the end, since you kind of have the voice for it. But
I got the zinger voice.
Tanya, did you hear that bit?
Did I hear the bit? There was a bit?
Yeah. It's at the zinger at the end of the show. We were talking about it, and we were talking about a sort of podcast parody of the Old Spice guy commercial.
Oh, yeah. Now I have to go listen to my own show.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I did put up a separate link for it for just the bit, but I did end up doing it myself.
Oh.
Mark wasn't here, and I had to do it, so.
I imagine that you have a database of recordings of my voice, so that one day your evil master plan is to build a computer that could, like, you know, take my place.
Mark, nobody can take your place.
Hi, Fess. How are you doing today?
I don't think I could do that because I just have Tanya giggles peppered throughout, so.
Yeah, okay. There is that.
The miracle of computing.
It's science.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, speaking of science, this week we're talking about demons.
What the hell? You do that just to bother me. Speaking of science, here's something that's completely not.
And now for something completely different. All right. And this week on the show, we have a returning guest. We have Jillyfu of the webcomic Demon Eater at drunkduck.com. Welcome to the show again.
Hi. Thank you for letting me come again.
No problem. And we also have another person with a demon comic. The comic is called Underling at underlingcomic.com. Please welcome David.
Why, hello there.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Good.
At least it was until it came on the show.
Yeah.
This episode of the Webcomic Beacon will be kind of like the zombie and vampire episodes from last year. Fairly specific as far as genre goes, of course. We did mention a few Halloween-esque comics last week. We might end up talking about some of those again, but this week we're talking about demons. Let's see. Well, since we've had Jill on the show before, let's start with David, and we'll have you tell us basically what is Underling about.
Okay. Underling is basically a fantasy adventure comic that really focuses on the kind of earthly mythologies, Christianity, Hinduism, the whole thing. It mostly focuses on the bad guys. There's demons, rakshasis, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. It's not really horror, but every now and then something horrible happens.
That's pretty good. I like that. Well, alrighty. And it's a fairly young comic. I remember seeing it a few months ago.
Actually, just last Monday, I think, was the 1 year anniversary.
Really?
So, celebrating that now.
Hmm.
Well, time is special for Fest.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything about it, so I didn't say anything about it. I guess I really don't remember. Time is an illusion to me, apparently. I do remember seeing ads for Underling at some point somewhere, and I remember checking it out, and I think it was in its beginning stages, so I must have lost like 8 months somewhere. Because, obviously I was like looking at here, well, yeah, like 111. Okay, well, already.
Now, how many days in your comic have passed, Fest?
Oh, come on!
Isn't it like two now?
Hey,
four.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, it's like the Groundhog Day PSI because you're redoing it. So it's like you're living those same 2 days over again.
Not necessarily. We're not here to talk about me. And there's plenty of other comics that have... There's plenty of other comics that have, like, hundreds of comics spanning just a couple of days. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, all right.
It's anyway,
hundreds of comics spanning 2 days.
Hey,
I'd like to see a poll. How many comics?
There's at least one I can count.
Besides yours,
no,
you don't have to count if there's only one.
Elgunish Shive for one. I had, I think, 2 years.
That's not counting.
Two years revolving around one night. I think, and I'm pretty sure I can find others.
I think you've outclassed them though.
No.
Gone to a whole new level, which is awesome.
I'm the one that turns it around on me to talk about my comic, and not you guys. We're here to talk about demons. You guys are my demons. How about that?
Demon.
Anyway, so, and Jill, can you give us a quick rundown, please, of Demon Eater?
Well, Demon Eater is basically kind of what's in the title. It's about demons that eat other demons to become stronger. And it's the world of Demon Eater is a world where all the animal or all the creatures, demons, can eat each other. So everyone is a cannibal there. And it's the story focuses on this little itty-bitty lesser demon, very weak, very pathetic, trying to survive in this world where anything can eat it. And it slowly grows more and more powerful as it eats different demons.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go into a little bit about what you are currently doing with the comic. You kind of put your other comic on hold so you could tackle this particular subject, but basically, I think you had... he's to a stage right now where, he's... bipedal for one.
Oh yeah.
As compared to like the early days. But also it's kind of like a big important point in your comic where you are basically demons in your comic are non-gender to begin with, or how does it work?
Well, they're like, I always kind of think of them at like, they're like balls of clay. They can be anything. And, and they reproduce by simply just, what do they call it? It's asexually reproducing. They don't really have sex in the same way as the creatures of our world do. And so, basically they could put themselves in a form of a sexy demon, but they're not exactly, if they were in a form of a woman or something, it would be equivalent to a Barbie doll in our world. A Barbie doll is made of plastic. It's not a real living creature, but it's in the form of a person. So it's not real. It's kind of fake. I don't know how to explain it. And
no, that's okay.
They're currently Siderno, the main character. He's in the what is he called? He's joined the Human Club, which is this group of these group of demons that are fascinated with the human world as a bunch of otakus are fascinated with Japan. They want to become everything that is, they want to become everything that is human. And so they're going to the point where they're experimenting and stuff. And they just assume that Siderno, he wants to be everything it is. But currently he is in the process of deciding if he wants to be a male or female human form. And they're What was just revealed in the story, or should I put that?
Don't
spoiler. Okay.
I'm probably going to go back and edit out a little bit of what you said for the actual show. You're basically coming to a point in the story where stuff is going to happen, and so it's getting a little bit interesting, and you're kind of pushing through it because you don't want to linger on it. I noticed.
Yeah, even though I'm going to run out of buffer tomorrow, and I was kind of hoping to work on. I'm going to work on it today, work on more pages.
Well, already. In the meantime, we seem to be having trouble with Tanya being able to have a nice secure connection. So we are without Tanya for the moment. But aside from that, so we basically got a rundown of our Demon Comics. Though David, you didn't really go into it a whole lot. I guess not as much as Jill. Anything you want to add?
It's basically about the Antichrist. Pretty much all of the characters are demons and have some stake in his effect on the end of the world, and so everybody's kind of scheming around it.
But are all demons evil? I've got the Wikipedia entry open right here, and they say that in religion and mythology and occultism and folklore, a demon is a supernatural being described as a spirit. The original neutral Greek word daimon.
And daimos.
Have
the good. I can't remember what they were called, and the bad caco demons, but basically, no. There's not a lot of pure good and evil. For instance, the Antichrist is basically just kind of an innocent kid who grew up in a bad neighborhood and is trying to stop the end of the world. And he's actually fighting against the devil. And you have another character, Lilith, who is heavily involved with the Antichrist and is basically also scheming against him, and it's kind of unclear what everybody's motives are at this point.
I like that word, scheming.
This the mythologically historical Lilith? Is this the same Lilith?
Yes. Uh-huh. Most of the characters are basically plucked from mythology and stuff, and I just kind of put my own spin on them and threw them in the plot.
Excellent.
Yeah, as I was saying, in at least according to the Wikipedia entry, they do not carry necessarily a negative connotation.
But, you know, in most of the popular modern religions, they do. So basically the way it works out is there's kind of a parallel between this crazy alternate world where all of this is taking place and Earth. And as things on Earth change, they change over here. So the devil basically rose to power about 2,000 years ago when Christianity did. And, you know, all the old gods like Lilith and Adramelech and Beelzebub and all the people that were around before him kind of resent it.
I like it. Good.
And it's a comedy where horrible things happen.
Yes. It's got comedy and horror. The main character cracks a lot of jokes, and somebody just got eaten alive. It's good fun.
Cool.
Hooray.
So it's a mythological slice of life, then.
Yeah, basically.
Demons do.
Let's see here. You can go on Wikipedia, and you can find a huge list of theological demons and fictional demons. Of course, you're only going to be able to find the quote-unquote notable fictional demons, so so whatever, you know, their standards for being notable. And so there's this fascination with demons as a, you know, we're kind of talking about the subject itself as well. Are demons necessarily the same thing as when people say devils? Like, you got your devils and angels, or because I've heard that expression before. I know people seem to use it interchangeably.
It's usually usable interchangeably. Devil is technically, you know, the devil, kind of
the guy.
Yeah, devil. The guy, and demons are just kind of the lesser things.
Well, Well, now, wasn't the devil, didn't he used to be an angel and he was cast out? So he is really, he's not the opposite of God. You know,
right.
God is all power, yeah. this. He is just merely an angel that has been cast out.
Fallen angel, yeah.
According to current
Christian
theology, yes. It wasn't always that way.
Well, what's the original devil? I thought that's what it was.
There wasn't one.
He was in the details. That's all we know.
Yeah.
It was originally there wasn't one. It's sort of a later story as far as Christianity.
This story needs a villain.
Yeah, I know. It's the way that works.
The devil, leader of hell thing is pretty recent. You know, Lucifer was in the old stories, but he was just kind of a minor player. Nobody cared about him. He's just a story of pride. He got kicked out and had to spend eternity in the abyss, and nobody cares about him. And then when Christianity took the stage, he became everything that is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty new.
So would you kind of count like fallen demons as, you know, fallen angels, perhaps as demons? I don't know if we're going with this lore, I guess. I'm not sure.
Well, I think one of the things with Lilith was she left Eden, and then she, you know, coupled with a whole bunch of demons and then made a bunch of demon babies.
Yeah.
Really?
According to Sandman, anyway. Nelson Sandman.
Yeah.
Scrolls and all that.
Yeah, Lilith was... you know, she was obviously never canonized under mythology, because to suggest that Adam had more than one wife is a bit, you know, a no-no for them. But,
the Christian Bible...
Yeah, heavily edited.
Yeah, the Christian... Well, the Bible, as we know the general title, Bible, even though there's several hundred different versions of it. The one that a lot of people will go to is the one done by Roman Catholics and also therefore King James. So two very specific and different versions and cuts. Basically, the Bible is essentially a pick and choosing by the Roman Catholic Church originally of certain stories.
The Councils of Trent and Nicaea. And many of the books were put in under threat of death because, you know, Caesar sort of liked them. There are some interesting things, but beyond that, the original stories of Lilith is that she was created as Adam's first wife, but she was created separately. She was created equal rather than from a part of him.
She was the beta.
Yeah.
The beta.
You know, expecting equality. She acted as though she was her own instrument rather than the instrument.
How dare she?
I know.
I mean, really.
And so basically she said, screw this. And she left Eden on her own. She wasn't kicked out. She was just like, I'd rather be in the wilderness, thanks. And from that point on, she was literally demonized. Yeah. Literarily demonized.
When did this story come about? Is this a recent invention or is this a...
No, this
mythology or what is this?
Yeah, this
predates it really?
Bible, okay. Like 1,000 years or something like that.
This predates the Gnostics.
Okay. Yeah.
So before we start pissing off a lot of different theologies that are maybe listening to this show,
maybe they need to get their crap together, and I'll pick one story. No.
But anyway, so this show is about demons, and we all love different types of demons, especially from pop culture. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about demons and pulp culture.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Choosing that point for the break just made it sound like you completely wussed out. Or like, no, the Catholics are coming, and then you just like went to break.
It's interesting stuff, though, definitely.
It is. What was amusing to me is that right as we started talking about the church and Fest started getting a little bit nervous, the Catholic Church across the street started ringing the bells.
Oh, dear. They know.
Oh, what a beautiful
coincidence. Yeah, we're talking about this on a Sunday, too.
Yeah. If only I could have amped the volume and we could have heard the bells.
Oh, God, I fear thee! No,
I remember I was telling a friend of mine, that I like to study different folklore or things around the Bible and, the things around demons and stuff. And then she got mad at me and said, no, that's a completely different thing. That's not mythical at all. And it's a different thing. And then I was just trying to explain.
Yeah, if it's your religion, it's not myth, of course.
Yes.
It's fun. It's the stuff of the demons and stuff. I don't know. As a Christian, you believe all the different demon things.
But
it's theological. That's the word we use. And whether or not you want to say theological or mythological is interchangeable, that's on you. But to try not to be into trouble, you say theological. But aside from that, we're going to be talking about demons in popular culture, in media and such. There's been some Twitters and Tumblrs and Formsprings going around. What is your favorite, horror film or your favorite evil villain, basically, you're talking about? Well, what are some favorite demons that we have from pop culture? I'll just throw one out to get us started. Something that's a bit fun is the shit demon from Dogma.
Dogma. That's gross.
The excremental.
Yes.
That was about the only thing that could have ruined that Selma Hayek scene for me, and they stuck it right in there. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate that. Oh, I was happy moments before that.
Come on. I mean, it's like, where else are you going to see that? In a mainstream movie. Live action.
Live action shit demons.
Other demons I really liked. I liked the Japanese demons, like the ones from Inuyasha, and there's a bunch of different, shows too. I like it that they all are kind of wandering and they're all over the place and they're not necessarily evil, they're kind of trickster and scary kind of things.
Nature spirits.
Yeah.
It's easier to draw a big mash of demons,
I had
too.
With a demon eater. Not necessarily working for the devil or torturing people, but,
just being what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how about the rest of you, your favorite demons?
Oh, favorite demons. Jeez.
I like the one from Legend.
I was just going to say that. Tim Curry can do anything.
That's Tim Curry. He's a pretty good demon.
He stepped through that mirror, and there were conflicting feelings. I was very happy about that. I liked his portrayal. Does that mean I have to think of another one? Damn it.
Mm.
Did any of you guys see the Paranormal Activity movie?
I did.
No.
I was bored. Not.
I loved it.
It was so boring.
I was too scared to see it.
Whoa, we saw it in the theater. You can't watch it on television. Anybody who's watching this, like renting it, just don't bother. Because on a tiny little screen, you'll be like, I'm going to take a nap. But, when you're in a crowd full of apparently heavily suggestible people, and you've got people sort of screaming at odd moments.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. I absolutely loved it, the good tension of it. And you never really saw what it was. Like, you saw elements of it, footprints and things like that, but you never really saw this demon. And I really liked that. I was scared. We kept the lights on when we got home. I had this horrible feeling that I was going to, one of the kids was going to have a nightmare or be sick and come into the room and just be standing by the side of my bed looking at me when I woke up. And then I would scream and ruin them for life.
What about stuff like The Shining? Would that be considered a demonic possession or demons at work?
The Shining?
Something like that?
Or what was that?
That was the devil, I thought, specifically. Wasn't
no,
it? Didn't he have like...
No, it was the...
In The Shining?
Stephen King is always really vague about what's causing it.
Yeah, I thought it was
You're
the ghost
of the
guy that... Yeah, The Stand is different.
Oh, what about that other movie? The one, it was famous. It had the girl with the head that go all the way around.
The Exorcist.
Oh,
The Exorcist.
Exorcist.
Oh, yeah, Exorcist.
That movie scared Demonic the possession. Heck out of me. The original. Oh, I just.
I like the original.
I've not seen it.
Now it kind of looks cheesy, but yeah, back in the day. It
was everywhere.
I like the, if you ever get a chance to see the one with the deleted scene, there's a scene from the original that they deleted because their test audiences actually found this 5 seconds of footage just too unnerving. So rather than scrap the whole movie, they took out this little bit and tested it again, and the audiences were still disgusted and horrified, but not so much that they would leave the theater.
What's the scene?
What was the scene?
It's literally just her coming down the stairs, sort of broken and backwards and spider-like. And it's literally 5 seconds of film that is the most freaking unnerving thing I've ever seen. Movement at it looks natural and yet not. And they did it was really nice.
Oh, I shudder. Oh man.
Linda Blair will never get a job selling Campbell's soup.
David, what did you say?
I think they put that that same shot in like some of the later versions, have her crawling upside down like a spider.
Yeah, but it wasn't as good, I didn't think.
It
was missing this sort of, because they were using, you know, the effects of the time, obviously they didn't jump into the future for the movie. it came out very sort of stilting and awkward, where now it's all smooth and perfect. And it was the stilting and awkwardness of it that made it look painful to accomplish and sort of wrong. And I think it was one of the few times when, you know, having sort of older effects really made it worthwhile. It was very good. Sorry.
That's okay. One movie I'd like to bring up as far as horror is concerned, and you can, there's definitely an element of demons in it, whether or not that's what it actually is, but Event Horizon. It's one of the very few movies that really scared the shit out of me when I watched it.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Horror was never my genre. The reason why I watched it was because, you know, science fiction, woo! And until I found out, oh no, this is science horror. Stuff I've never seen before. So it could be that, I've not been a horror watcher fan, so there's probably some stuff in here that that might have been dull to a horror fan, but I'm not sure. But I thought Event Horizon, it really got me going. I think I did see it in the theater, but it has that element of, if anybody who hasn't seen it, basically there's like this test ship set in the future that it was trying singularity, movement through space, basically warping space to bring two points A and B together, and then you pass right through it, and then you unfold, and boom, you're thousand light years away.
Right.
And it disappeared on its test run, and then it came back later. That's the current day, so to speak. So they're out and they're investigating why they get there. They can't find any of the crewmen, nobody on there. So they try to get as much data, and then shit starts to happen, like the ship itself,
haunted spaceship.
Yeah, like the haunted spaceship, like the ship itself is possessed, and then later, who's
it's
the main
like
actor in that one?
Something back from the singularity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the main guy in that one?
Sam Neill.
That's not Sam Neill.
It's Sam
Lawrence
Neill.
Fishburne.
No.
Captain Miller.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, and Sam Neill is the scientist guy, engineer
yeah.
guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Sam Neill.
Dr. Weir.
I thought he'd. Yeah, Dr. Weir. That's that name.
I think you're very suggestible. I think it's a good idea that you're not a horror fan. I don't think you'd ever sleep again.
I don't know. I thought it was Dr. Weir. Isn't that the same name as the doctor from Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Gentlemen, behold, my time space continues. Bullshit!
I don't know.
I think it's more weird.
Gentlemen!
Yeah, that's Dr. Weird, isn't it? The guy who's always blowing himself up and getting his
Yeah, about horror movies, yeah. I can't watch them anymore. Live action ones. I can watch anything animation that's horror themed, but I can't watch live action. But
is that just the new stuff? Horrors. Like a Saw or something?
Or is it like all horror or like Hammer horror?
Well, maybe just rated R horror, I guess. PG-13 might not be so bad.
I have a long history with horror movies. I started watching horror movies with my dad in the middle of the night when I was like 3 and 4. The cheesy old ones, because, you know, his work schedule made it where he came home in the middle of the night, so he'd wake me up and we'd watch these late movies. So I can't remember a time in my life where I wasn't watching horror movies like on a weekly basis. There's very few things that frighten me, and I find that most of the time it's the atmosphere I watch them in more than it is the movie. Blair Witch was terrifying, had nothing to do with the movie, which was, you know, kind of on review, meh. But my brother and I had actually spent the entire day just warping our brains, so that by the time we got to the movie, we were already scared shitless. So we got there, watched the thing. By the time we got home, we sat in the driveway because I didn't want to walk him to the door and he didn't want to walk on his own. And that's brilliant. So to me, it always has to do with the company and how frightened we can make each other more than the movies.
I find this funny because you're a skeptic.
Well, I knew there was nothing there, but that doesn't stop your lizard brain but saying, yeah, but what if you're wrong? Like, and it's never been anything otherworldly that I've been afraid of. It's always been, real things.
You're there common man.
Real things to be afraid of.
Yeah. There might be some people at the door.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
I did study criminal forensic pathology with, you know, a specialty in serial crime. There are real demons out there. I don't need to worry about the mythical ones.
Yeah, I was just watching so much Forensic Files and a lot of those things, man. It kind of scares me when I come out at night sometimes. Dang.
Yeah. I've got some photos that should never be seen by anyone, but, yeah.
Wait, what? What does this have to do with photos?
I have photos, crime scene and autopsy photos.
Okay, crime scene photos.
Oh, I thought you meant those pictures of me from PenguinCon.
Those are mine.
We got a comment in the chat room saying horror and slasher are two different things. There's been some talk in there about Saw.
Agreed.
And that's true.
Yeah, I agree.
Saw, in theory, had the potential to be a horror movie. But
it really copped out into the whole gore thing.
It did.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do the gore slash stuff. Never did.
I do it all.
Not a fan. Not a fan. Even like the Evil Dead, I'm like, oh, God, it's just slasher stuff. I know that sounds like sacrilege, but there you go.
Oh, that's all right.
That's a pretty good example of demonic possession, I guess.
Aren't those comedies first and foremost, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
not the first one. The first one was straight up horror.
Yeah, the first one actually tried to be scary.
Didn't they kind of redo this first one and the second one?
Oh, they have so many sequels.
They rewrote.
They rewrote it. The original. Well, not the original, but you know, some people are bringing up The Ring, or Ringu. If you saw the Japanese version,
I saw both.
Which one was actually scarier? Which one did you see first?
I saw the American one first, and I thought that was scary just because they had all these random things coming around. I thought the Japanese version was just hilarious because they had this guy that he'll hide his head behind his hands, his face behind him, and go boogie woogie. Oh my God, it was hilarious.
I had no clue what the hell was going on in the Japanese one. And to my grave, I will never understand what Japanese people find so frightening about wet children. I don't get
it. Wet children.
They're wet kids. I don't care if they meow. It's a wet meowing child. Kick it. It's tiny. I don't get it. It's...
Are you sure you're thinking about Ringu? Because I thought the other one that was done by the same people, I forget what the other one's called.
The American one? Ring?
No, there's Ring, there's Ringu, and then there's like another one that has a different name.
Oh. I think they did make The Ring 2.
No, not The Ring 2. The Ring 2 is shit. The Ring 2, I mean, couldn't have spelled it out for you any more than beating you over the head with the foreshadowing stick. But,
It wasn't so much a foreshadowing stick as it was you know, literally just a psychic coming and telling
the Grudge.
You
the Grudge had the meowing kid.
Oh, that's right. The Grudge was the kid that meowed, but that's
oh,
also
yeah, I saw that one too. I must have mixed them together.
Is the Grudge? That's the one where like the chick dies in the first one, and then they. Is it Sarah Michelle Gellar or something in that?
Yeah, it's Sarah Michelle Gellar, and the hand comes out of the back of her head in the shower, and.
That one
yeah.
But see, the Grudge is actually based on a Japanese horror movie as well. And
yeah, I saw about
it. Ju-on.
It's got The Ring, The Grudge, Wet Children. That's what they all have in common. It's just wet kids making different noises.
It's like, I bet it's based after some kind of Japanese demon or something. Because maybe there's a lot of kids that drowned or something. Because, you know, a lot of, if you don't know how to swim and they're a little kid, they drown, you know. And they made ghosts out of everything, so.
Well, yeah, and I'm hoping it has something to do with some integral, amazing bits of Japanese mythology that I'm unaware of. Otherwise, Japanese people are weirder than I thought and are frightened of wet children. I just
The Asian version of vampires are pretty funky, too. They're pretty strange. At least I've seen some kung fu movies with vampires in them. And to stop the vampire... you have to stick a prayer on it, like a piece of paper with a prayer. If you can stick it on the vampire, you beat them. It just seems they seem kind of silly. They're sort of a cross between American vampires and, well, Western vampires.
Well, they don't have the cross thing to work with.
No.
So whereas they do typically, you see them saying prayers from trees and things outside some temples.
Yeah. They're like wards.
Talismans.
Yeah, so talismans, wards.
Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So
Japanese vampire hunters use post-it notes, basically.
They must.
No, their talismans have special powers on them.
It, just think of it, instead of a cross, it's this written thing.
They're more like zombies, really.
Yeah, they are kind
They're a lot more like zombies than the Western vampires.
Well, in the Helsing anime, if a vampire bites somebody that isn't a virgin, they turn into a ghoul zombie-like person instead of a vampire.
It's only the virgins.
Because they're so chemically different.
They're very fixated on purity. They have some purity issues. So, that would make sense.
And not like we, some people in the U.S. have some purity issues, too.
I have issues with that.
unfortunately for us.
I wanted to talk about something I find horrifying. Purity balls. That's fucking horrifying. Forget the horror movies. The idea of a daddy owning his daughter until he hands her over to her husband. That's fucking terrifying. Isn't this where Fest goes to break?
This is where I was trying to say that, you know, The Ring was the other movie that I really liked and was really scared about, just because of all the, you know, there's a lot of not sure what's going on, but a lot of the stuff with the video itself, I've never seen Ringu, so I don't know what the technical differences are, but just some of the creepy stuff, like, you know, the weird, like, there's no coding on the tape itself, so it was an image put on the cassette without using a recorder, so that was kind of interesting. All the little things they pointed out about the video, that was like, those are all like little additive things. And then that fly was like one of the creepiest things. I was like, oh shit, shit, the fly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like those little things that kind of like got me. It's like, I wasn't expecting that. It's like, oh, they're right. Sort of, you know, these little like little things, and then they kind of added up to it. And then, of course, towards the end of The Ring, I was like, with the shit coming out of the screen, I wouldn't have fucking
now
that
was a great scene. I loved that scene. Crawling out of that television was awesome. But I was not like, oh my god, I'm so scared. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Where's the shit?
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. We obviously cannot watch the same type of movie, because one will find it funny or the other will find it scary. And I don't know. And the other thing that scared me was like the expression on the kids' faces when you found them dead. It's like, because you only saw it for like a little bit, and you're just like, well, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, they were all
kind of expression, just scared or something.
Yeah.
Well, they looked like they were. They looked. I think they were supposed to look like they had drowned, but they'd been dead for a long time though, which made it look really weird. And their mouths were sort of like they're, you know, they looked really creepy.
Like frog mouths.
Yeah. Wide open and kind of drooping, and they were a little out of proportion. And
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah. I like it when filmmakers play with that uncanny valley effect. And they really did do that a little bit with the dead people in the ring. And they've they tried in the new House on Haunted Hill, and I got cut off again.
No, we hear you.
Ow. You're still here.
Yeah.
It clicked. It made the little, like, you're not here anymore noise.
Psych.
Anyway. Because I think the glory of the uncanny valley effect is you don't know why you're freaked out by the image. So you may be able to look at the college kid that's been scared to death and not understand why it looks so frightening, because it's just on the borderline of being realistic.
Just something's innately wrong about it.
Yeah. I love the uncanny valley effect. It's beautiful. It's a great tool for horror writers. I wish they'd use it more.
Not too great.
I wish I knew how to use it.
What did you say, David?
No, not too great in CG, but great in horror.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We'll wrap this up and talk about some news. That was Demons by The Wanton Looks at musicalley.com by Mevio. No, not next week is not going to be about ghosts or spiders. I'm still waiting to hear back from somebody about if they can be on the show for next week or not. Otherwise, tentatively, next week is looking like it's going to be about manga-style comics.
Scary.
Ooh. Well, since we're talking about...
It certainly can be.
It's manga style. I'm choosing to use the phrase manga style because apparently there's discourse in the manga community of what actually constitutes as manga or not, and we'll certainly be talking about this on the show.
Interesting.
Oh, good. I won't launch into the spiel.
I guess I could see that because a lot of people see anime and think, and they draw in that style, which isn't really a manga style. There's a difference.
And the style has been mixing so much now over the years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really popular American ones that people can they look at and think they're manga style, but they've been changed so much that it's very interchangeable now.
Well, a lot of people are like, anime and manga is only if it's from Japan. That's it. Only if it's from Japan. That's it. And
manga is just the Japanese word for comic. So, like, if you're making an American comic, it's an American manga. That's
silly. Yeah,
people are just obsessed with.
But it's grown to have a nuance. It's grown to have a particular recognizable style.
No, I think Americans are just too stuck up to use the definition of another country, and they have this. Stick in their own damn definitions. It's really, you know, they're digest style comics.
There's people in Japan that will argue that it's not anime or manga unless it's from Japan. Regardless of, you know, they go by the definition too.
We already have a word for it. It's called comic.
Well, that's next week on the webcomic.
That's next week on the webcomic beacon. Anyway,
you see what I gotta put. You see what I gotta deal with.
Spiders.
You love it.
Patience of Job. That's me.
The patience of Job. I hate that phrase. Oh, patience. His whole family was wiped out. He was covered in boils and crazy. That's not patience.
It sounds like they became patients. Sounds like they had to go to the doctor. Maybe they were patients then.
Ooh.
I didn't.
Pun.
I'm just saying.
All right. So, welcome to the webcomic beacon where nothing is sacred.
Oh. Except Jimmy Stewart, because he's cool.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't bag on Jimmy. God, sure, but not Jimmy.
I'm sorry, I just got a Skype from somebody who is like, haven't talked to you in a while. Do you remember who I am? And I'm like, I'm looking up at the Skype thing. Zach Holmes from unamused-comics.com. Yes, I remember you.
Because all the information is here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're that guy.
You're that guy from that thing. Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't updated his comic in a while. But it's too late because we've already talked about dead web comics last time. I wanted to mention something about dead web comics. This is really funny because Lem, who does the art for Blanket from blanketcomics.com, I mentioned last time he had also used to do one called Lethal Doses, which is still online, but he had also done this comic called Winter, which was kind of like a sepia sketch style.
Yeah.
And it's not online anymore right now, but it's on his hard drive. And there's certain reasons behind the scenes why it ended, and he didn't really want to end it, but, you know, it just had to. But they had to end it in the middle of something, and in fact, this is exactly where you don't end things, if you can at all help it. Basically, you know, this whole story, it's somewhat of a serious kind of story, and early on in the comic, there were scouts that have gone out to look for stuff. Because people can't see it, so I'm trying not to get too descriptive or too vague, but basically, you know, there's all this buildup and stuff, and then the very last comic that is online, and the very last line is, "The scouts have came back."
Ooh.
And you never know, you never ever find out. And? So, yeah.
What?
Never know now. So
he's going to bring it back, though.
There are plans to bring back something of within that same universe, but not specifically Winter. But
well, that sucks.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of funny. You know, but it's sad too.
One,
but it's funny.
It was like Home on the Range. It wasn't Home on the Range. It was Home on the Strange or something. That ended in the middle of a storyline. They just decided I was over, I guess. And there was another storyline, a secondary storyline, that is just sort of hanging in the distance. And so they basically came on and said, this is how it would end. I did a post.
That's better than nothing.
Which is better than just being like, but wait, what?
That's better than a 2-year indefinite hiatus.
Yeah.
Yeah. This somewhat ties into demons.
No, it doesn't. Quit the pretense. We don't know what they're talking about.
All right. I'm going to check our It's time for the mailbag. Mailbag, mailbag, mailbag. Okay, we're not going to do that
delivery,
again.
Speedy delivery,
speedy delivery. We have a couple of milestones that have been reported to us via webcomicbeacon at gmail.com. Tree Lobsters is hitting its 200th update. And so, well, tomorrow, actually. So, Shrub Lobsters, congratulations. And
that's it. Shrubs. It's not shrubbery.
A shrubbery! A what? Please, please, no more!
treelobsters.com, so go ahead and check that out. I bought that movie on DVD, actually, at my local Half Price Books. It was like for like $10, so I couldn't not buy it.
You mean
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh yeah.
Not
man, it's so much better on DVD because I just have this VHS from however ago. So like I'm watching it. Ooh, I can see some extra stuff that I couldn't tell was there before.
I actually have it somewhere on one of those big video discs.
Would that be a laser disc?
Yeah, yeah.
This looks like a silver record, but it's not a silver record. It's a laser disc. There's a movie on there.
Do you have a player?
Oh, no. That died before the 90s, I think. Uh-huh. I have those movies.
Somewhere. Melissa has a collection of laser discs. I know that. A couple of which that I'm pretty sure she's proud she owns. But I don't recall what they are. I'm not sure if she has a working laser disc right now, though. But the other milestone, which I'm going to mention before we get too far off, Zombie George, I guess. Huh. At zombiegeorge.com. Let's see. It was reaching, 100 strips the 1st of November, so that's a bit early to mention. But, I didn't read the whole email. But anyway, there you go, you get your mention early anyway, so you can check out Zombie George at zombiegeorge.com. Also, because it's Halloween-related, too, so there is that. And we also mentioned a lot of Halloween-esque comics on last week's episode, so you can go ahead and check out the post for all the links to those. Hey guys, this is Fest with a post recording heads up here. I'm butting into the podcast to let you know about something called 30 Characters Challenge. If you go to 30characters.com, that's 30characters.com. There is something called the 30 Characters Challenge, which you have until Friday, October 29th, 2010, this year, to sign up officially for the challenge. But it's kind of like 24-hour Comics Day. You can do this challenge whenever. But it's basically, the challenge is to draw one new character for each day of November. So 30 characters. You don't have to do them one a day. You can do them all in one day if you really think you can do that. But I think it's a really cool, creative exercise for people to check out, as well as observe it happening. I think this is the second year. I'm not sure. I'm going to try to get the guy on the show. But if you go on Twitter and you follow the hashtag 30 characters, like 30 characters, like the URL, you should be able to see stuff about it going on, as well as I believe they're going to be showing images and such on the website once they get going. Just some quick facts here. It's not something where you're going to be making art for somebody else to take. You maintain the rights to everything you make. It's kind of like a meme with a website, and it's a challenge. So I just wanted to get in here since November's coming up, and the deadline for this official for the main site is this Friday. If you actually want to be officially a part of the challenge, I suppose. Otherwise, if you don't sign up and there's still time to prepare yourself for the 30 characters challenge in November, and we'll be keeping watch on some things, and I'm personally gonna try this out as well. We'll see if I can even make it to 30. We'll see. Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to plug that in here, and back to the show. Let's see, and there was another comic that I was mentioning last week. I couldn't remember what it was, but it basically had ghosts with boobs Big boobs at crazy-ghosts.com. I wanted to at least mention that because, okay, yeah.
I'm crazy.
Boobs, big okay. boobs and butts. So yeah. You got kind of sexy globules of ghosts, I guess. And one's a cat girl. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. So if you like ghosts okay. and boobs, check out Crazy Ghosts.
I have another milestone.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
My cardboard life reached 400 comics.
Excellent.
Well, already. That's
at mycardboardlife.com by Philippa Rice.
My goodness, that means that all three of our milestones actually have appropriate URLs.
That's true.
Well, one has a dash.
Well, that's still appropriate. No, well, maybe enough.
Not. No, I guess. No, that's fine. Yeah, all right, there we go. Awesome. Let's see, some other news. For anyone that's looking to go to PenguinCon, right now is when you want to get in before the end of October, before the pre-orders are go up. So go to PenguinCon.org and check it out, because the webcomic Beacon will be there. All three of us, and that's kind
when
of...
When I tried to reserve my hotel room, though... It said that the code wasn't valid, so I don't know that the hotel is.
Oh, that should be fixed now.
Yeah, call them up. I've already reserved.
I don't talk to people.
Well, I've already.
Internet is for. Is this stop me from having to talk?
What's the date of PenguinCon?
PenguinCon.
Oh, PenguinCon.
Okay. when is it, Fess?
Okay, well, I guess PenguinCon.org is the place you're supposed to go, but it doesn't seem to be loading right now. And if I go to the Webcomic Beacon homepage, underneath on the left, I don't have an image for it, but I do have a link for PenguinCon 2011, and that is going to be April 29th to May 1st, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Troy Marriott in Troy, Michigan. If you call the Troy Marriott and say that you want to book with... The PenguinCon group, you'll get the rate, and I think it's $88 a night.
It's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and
it's a nice hotel too. It's not crappy.
I mean, with local taxes, it's $100 a night basically. Yeah. So you know, it's not too terrible, but especially if you're splitting, because you can get a room with king bed or a room with two doubles. So I'll be looking to fill Melissa. A.K.A. Chibutikin, will likely be coming along with us this time, with me this time, as well as same as last year, so...
I don't know, you sure? I thought she had that other convention to go to.
Oh, if she has another convention, then she won't. But I'll likely be looking for someone to split the room with, of course.
I might be interested this year.
PenguinCon! Well,
it's not the same time as SpringCon.
I don't... Now I gotta look it up.
Oh, no, don't bother. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll look it up later and we'll see what's going on. And so anyway, so we've lost Tanya again, basically, so I'm stalling for time.
Okay, well.
Oh, if it's the beginning of May. No, it's not during SpringCon. Oh, I bet I could go this year.
It's the end of April, beginning of May. So anyway, if you can look on Twitter for N9UXU, and it's David who does slightly off topic that comic. He basically is heading up the
webcomic track.
The webcomic track, panels and programming, and I guess table booking as well. And it's going to be the same thing as last year. I think it's for in Artist Alley. Artist Alley and the vendors area is kind of all together. Yeah. If it's at the same place as was last year, I think, yeah, it's all basically together.
Same hotel.
Tables are like $40, which includes the cost of...
that much? Are you sure it's that much?
Tables are
cheaper?
$40, which includes the cost of admission.
That's a good deal. Incredible.
That's a great deal.
Nope. And Mark and Tanya, you're being covered by the Webcomic Beacon for registration.
Yay.
And tables. And so when you come, I'll need more business cards for sure.
I got plenty of those because nobody takes mine.
I have one left of yours, Mark.
Oh, you got one left?
Yeah. I mean, I need like a stack.
You sell more of my stuff than I do.
Well, I'm not selling your cards. I'm giving them away.
You give away more of my stuff than I do.
Well, actually, you have more t-shirts than I have.
I started selling your flyers, kind of.
Oh, guys, I forgot to mention.
Ooh.
I'm going to be at YomaCon next week.
Yeah.
Selling comics.
Where is that?
That's in Detroit, Michigan.
Which is right next to where PenguinCon is.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the same neighborhood. Mm. Sort of.
Kind of. Detroit suburb, wherever.
Well, the safe part of Detroit suburb.
So there is that to look forward to for next year. But other than that, I don't think there's anything else that that I'm going to before then, unless I can get into Anime Detour via doing some panels. Otherwise, I likely won't be going because all I do is go to shows and sell other people's stuff.
Yeah, you applied right now, right, for Anime Detour for the panels?
Applied for panels. I'm not going to buy registration unless I get approved for panels.
I can't
afford to keep going to conventions of which I don't sell anything of mine to recoup costs of going. So unless I have like another reason to go there, like panels or something like that, you know. Otherwise, basically, it's just, you know, go. it's kind of like FaceTime and networking with no return because I'm stuck behind a table selling other people's things.
Fess has all these master plans at work. Like, I know he sells my t-shirts for $45.
I do not.
And
I owe you for a shirt, actually.
You what?
I owe you for a shirt I gave away.
You gave away?
Yeah, I bought for somebody else.
Was she cute?
It's
forgivable. Was it the one
was my
that
friend's
I paid
husband.
The base cost for?
A what?
Yeah, I remember you gave me a shirt at that MixCon.
That was the Webcomic Beacon shirt.
Okay,
spiral
that
one. Yeah. See, I'm not even selling my shirts either. No, I started selling your robot flyers for like with my bookmarks and those postcards, basically 50 cents each or 3 for a buck.
People want those? I mean, the flyers.
Yeah, I've sold a couple of them. I mean, they're really nice and fun. Mm-hmm. And a few people have actually bought them. I figure, you know, if I can get like 25, 50 cents, hey, there's no. No harm.
Why not?
Well, I'm sure it's
why are you selling flyers?
Because they're really cool all on their own.
Why didn't you just put out a cup? My God.
No.
Put out a cup.
they're cheap. And,
put on some dark glasses and, you know, hold
nothing
a bunch
bleeds
of
desperation like selling flyers, Fess.
They're not just like flyers. They're standalone and they're usable on their own.
I will give you that. Mark's flyers look like my posters. Like, there's a lot of time put into Mark's flyers.
Well, the robot one is simple and fun enough. And then I also have the Jenny Averer postcards and I have my own bookmarks. Basically, it's like for a buck, you can get these three things. And for what they are, you know, they're kind of cool. And I've had people buy them, so I'm going to keep doing that. And it's not like, and sometimes I do give away a couple of this or that, depending on, like, if I'm getting really engaged with somebody, I was like, here, have a whatever, you know, and you know.
Whatever. That's so rude.
You know.
That's a very good idea. Have a whatever.
Ew. I had a dream that Megan and I kicked somebody's ass, like, hard and humiliatingly, at PenguinCon.
Did he have a beard and Buddy Holly glasses?
No.
Did he go,
No, it was because I was thinking about that guy that was a douche to her, and I'd been, I recently reread all the way through Yumi, and, so I was thinking about it. I'm like, how can somebody be a douche to her? This is so good, and she's so sweet. And then I went to sleep, and so I had, like, revenge dreams.
I think it had more to do with her being cute than anything else.
Well, she certainly
well,
is.
Well, it did. But, well, yeah, I mean, he was coming on to her, but the way he was doing it was completely inappropriate.
I bet he doesn't even read her comic. I think she just saw a sexy chick. I think that's
yeah. I don't think he knew who she was, but I was still angry about it, apparently. Yeah. So Megan, we really, really hurt him. not physically as much as his pride, so.
Oh, there. Hopefully he won't be there this year.
Hopefully
he will.
It was really cool when I was at, we mentioned this last time, FullCon. I was talking with like a 16-year-old and her friends and everything like that. And she was talking to me about, you know, stuff that she was writing. And we got on the topic of, you know, sexuality, identity, and that whole, like, sort of, like, you know, because she's writing stuff. No, she's the one writing stuff where there's characters, and that's part of what the whole nuance of what she's writing is. And I started bringing up, like, other things. And I started talking about Yumi by Megan Rose Gidnett. And before I could even really finish that, I got two hands up in my face. And I'm like, wondering what's going on. Oh, they want high fives. Sweet. All right. Yay, Yumi.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so yeah, we had her on the show too. So yeah, so so that was kind of cool, you know. Just, you know, it was a really good show, and that's what I like. I like it when people can come up and can really engage, and also buying things. But it's mostly the networking and connecting. But
that's
anyway.
What conventions are good for, really. Plus all the fun.
Yeah, all the fun.
Everyone should come to PangoCon. It may be the only convention I do next year is PangoCon.
Actually, you know, I really wonder if more and more webcomicers go, because they seem fairly packed in their artist alley, unless they go somewhere else where they're bigger or something like that. You know, I can't see. I mean, because it's such a general convention, you know.
Well,
they didn't seem like they had that much room for more. Is all I'm saying.
They might just open up another room. There were other meeting spaces in the hotel.
Oh, okay. I wasn't entirely sure about that. But anyway, I'm not sure if there's much else that we can talk about for as far as demons are concerned, since that's what the show is about.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Well, the third segment never really talks about this segment, the show topic as
if
much.
We're lucky, the first and second do.
See, yeah, well, sometimes. Yeah. And then that's kind of like the idea with the minisodes that I'm planning on doing would be a bit more focused and shorter shows, which would essentially at least eliminate the third segment completely. And these would be part of non-core programming, which aka non-Sunday programs. But I am really looking into, I really want to make that second Sunday a news week, talking about stuff that's going on in the webcomics and comics community that's of concern to, you know, webcomicers and other creators. I got some ideas, and I got to talk to some other ideas. A couple people, three people, already have extended ideas of what I'm hoping to do before this all collapses in on itself, because I'm motivated right now. Now's the time to do it, if I can really put things together.
Like, I gave you permission. I give you access to my calendar. So,
yeah. Know. Holy shit.
Yeah. If you find 15 minutes, let me know.
Yeah. Essentially, I got ideas that I got some ideas that might not even use us. If anything, I might be there at least just to record. I'm not looking for more stuff for myself, but I am looking to start stuff and hopefully get other people to go with it. I got some ideas, possibly a sort of programming network thing. I don't know. I got some ideas. Stuff that extends beyond webcomics. Beyond webcomics. So I've been talking with some people. I'm looking into it. We're just in the beginning stages right now, so I'm not getting ahead of myself. But I'm really looking for people. I'm really looking for people that are interested, self-motivated, and dedicated to something that I am willing to help out with. If you go on our website, you can check out. I have a post. I'll put it in the show notes here, but it's before the 137 episode. It's called Extended Programming. So go there and check that out of some ideas that I got. I'm really looking for people that, you know, I'm willing to produce, edit, and direct to begin with, and help out these either Webcomic Beacon related stuff or some new ideas. So, but you got to be self-motivated. You got to be driven to, like, I really want to do this, but I just don't know how. I'm willing to try to put something together. I got some ideas, and I'm willing to share my ideas with those that know they can do stuff on this and that. So,
So there.
And Tanya keeps dropping.
Drop Tanya again.
But that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. And unless David or Jilly, if there's anything else you wanted to add.
Gosh, you really got me on the spot here. I'm pretty good. Deviantor, www.deviantor.com, all one word. And I'm trying to update every day, but I think I'm probably going to have to take a break because of Yomacon.
Right. That's not what I meant by things to add, but.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. You just said things to add. Nothing. It's very general.
Oh, Mark's dropped now.
That's because Skype, as I said, is a filthy, filthy whore.
Well, if there was an alternative, I would look into it. Well, there probably are some alternatives, but the trick is trying to get other people, everyone else, to use it too. When I'm trying to do a show with them, everybody knows Skype.
It's free, so I'm not going to be totally entitled and freak out because my free program doesn't work.
Well, I have a Skype subscription, so
well,
so that I can snag people from other countries.
But I should be able to bitch about it.
Anyway, so that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. Here at webcomicbeacon.com, where you can listen to and talk about webcomics weekly. This has been...
Oh, God.
Hey, if they're
Let
not...
Let it go!
If they're not, I will. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
And this is Mark of autumnlake.com.
This is Chili the Foo from demonator.com.
This is David Emerson of underlingcomic.com.
Thanks to everyone who showed up for this show. Oh, thank you so much. And be sure to come tune in for it next week. The topic is still in the air, but we will be here next week for another episode of the Web Comic Beacon.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
That's a real word.
It is not.
Pedantic. It's a word.
Saying it, repeating it doesn't make it a word.
It's a word.
I know.